So, our second and final review of the day is going to be for the series Moon Girl and the Devil Dinosaur. It is a Disney Plus series there. I've been hearing a lot about this. I've been people telling me about this, how great this show is. And what is this show about? So this is a comic book character here, Moon Girl. I think this character was in the Devil Dinosaur. It was created all the way back, with Jack Kirby, I think this character was created. Or was it created a little
I think it's more recent than that. Oh gosh!
This character was created in 2015, November 2015.
Okay. Yeah,
Devil Dinosaur. That was a character I think that was created by Kirby.
Devil's for sure older.
Yeah. So you have this girl, who I think, from what I understand, is the smartest girl in the entire Marvel universe.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Like it's kind of a debate somewhat between her and Shuri, but it seems like more often than not, they tend to go with Moon Girl.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who is Lunella Lafayette. And she's a superhero, 13-year-old superhero who lives, of course, in New York. That's where all the Marvel superheroes seems to hang out.
Yeah.
Yep. And like I said, one of the smartest people in the entire universe of Marvel. And she has a companion, a devil dinosaur they got from another dimension there. And they go around fighting crime. You see each episode, that's kind of what they do. Very episodic in a way there, very serialized. You know, just every episode, new kind of challenges she faces, new lessons she learns. It's kind of like this show is a little bit like if you take the Proud Family and you take Spider-Verse and you kind of mix those together. And then it's something like this, you would get pretty much the Moon Girl in the dinosaur. And I, you know, heard about this, and the animation is also something that really, looking at kind of trailers for this and clips, it's like that's what really also drew me to it as well. Really amazing animation, really lively, really colorful style. It's like I can only imagine the work that the animators do this, because not only do you see that, but just like when they do these sequences, like every episode includes like a music sequence. It includes like where they go into a whole other different animation style where she kind of fights bad guys here. She also has a great family that supports her. You have a great voice talent in this. Alfie Woodard, who plays her grandmother in this. You have Jermaine Fowler, who plays her father in this. Jermaine Fowler, he's been in things like Blackening. He's been in before. He had a great role in that. You have Uncle Ruckus in this. You got Gary Anthony
Williams,
who's her grandfather there. Lawrence Fishburne, who is executive producer of this show. He helped the show get made. Somebody brought to him the comic of Moon Girl. And I was like, yeah, this looks pretty good. He's a comic book fan himself and was like, hey, I'll make this into a show. And it kind of inspired him to do so. And he also shows up in a voice role in this as one of the villains of the show, the Beyonder, who's like a trickster. Type character, and very different performances that you've seen mainly from Lawrence Fishburne. More flamboyant, more like something like Chris Tucker and like The Fifth Element a little bit.
That's a good comparison.
That actually is a great comparison.
And this series seems to be connected to the MCU because he also shows up as Bill Foster in this, who was his character in the Ant-Man movies. Also, you do have Maria Hill who shows up in this, Goldie Smulders. So you And they do also make other MCU references, like there's an episode where the Wakandan teacher comes there.
Oh, so good.
And then you also have, where they reference Wakanda, Vibranium. Also, Thanos is referenced in this. So it seems like it is kind of connected to the MCU in a way there. But I'm going to go around and get you guys' opinion on this, being fans of the series already before me. So, Hunter, what are your thoughts on Moon Girl and the Devil Dinosaur?
I hate how great this show is. Like, it's actually kind of annoying how brilliant the show is. So I watched season one. I took a couple weeks because I really didn't want to zoom through it. And then there's a certain point that it hits. I just went, fuck, I kind of think I'm going to finish this tonight. I think I hit around episode 7, I want to say. I'm actually gonna pull up the list here. Let me see. But I don't know how they pulled the show off. Every time I thought the show couldn't get better, it kept finding a different fight scene to use or a different song to use. Or this show just feels effortless in its representation, which is something that I was really happy to see. I think it's like episode 4. They have a computer that goes that goes by they them, and it's addressed right at the beginning. There's like, it's just like, oh, this is how it is, and Luminella's completely respects it and goes, oh, I go by she. I think she goes by she her, and they have like a really cool little bonding moment over there and over that moment. And I was like, that's really cool, and the show just constantly does stuff like that. Where I went, this show just gets it. Like, it never feels forced. It feels very natural to the stories that they're telling, and man, I thank goodness for people like Lawrence Fishburne who see something like this and go, like, we really want to go ahead and see our stories on screen. And they're clearly given a lot of rope, because Moon Girl is like, you know, Brandon, like, we're a comic book nerd. what do we say? She's like a C-level hero.
Yeah, I say C-level. Like, she doesn't pop up in a lot of events. She's mostly doing her own thing. Like, yeah, very much C-level, I say.
But, I mean, that's really kind of how, but that's how you're able to kind of do this shit and kind of be able to go ahead and kind of occupy your own space. Like that's not a bad thing. And I could clearly see people liking her more after, you know, after seeing this show. But, like there's, episode 4, the Check Yourself episode, where she's having the chess match against computer. She's doing a test while she's playing this computer, because she's so, like, she doesn't want to lose that badly. She's like, okay, yep, here's my science test. All right, go away. I got this. And it's this, like, it's very much being that smart, which, I mean, you would have an ego, like, being this smart already. Like, you definitely would. But also being that hard-headed and being like, no, I don't want to lose. And Luminella learned some shit that you probably don't learn until you're 17, 18 because of the circumstances she's in. We're talking season 1 and 2, right?
Yeah. Well, it's only half of, basically a little over half of season 2. There's only 7 episodes that released there, and they're going to do 24. So you're not even really halfway season 2.
Right, okay.
You can talk a little bit about season 2 there. And season
okay, one. So like they straight up address like panic attacks and PTSD, and in a way that I was like, wow, they're actually making this very tangible for kids to comprehend and to get. Panic attacks, by the way, are fucking terrible. They're terrifying, and you just feel like it's like the worst echo chamber in the world. And the way that they actually portray her, like, being drowned by her own thoughts, like almost in a very symbiote sort of way, I was like, holy shit, like, this is like, it's crazy how this and Ted Lasso have been some of the best portrayals of like panic attacks that I've seen, where you just go, oh, that's what one's like. That's horrifying.
Puss in Boots also did it very well too.
Yes. And that was the other example I was gonna bring up, where like you just go, oh wow, this is, because I almost think like they've almost been like, I'm not one of those people who go like, oh, you know, this isn't taken seriously enough, but I think panic attacks and mental health in general has been kind of a like shrug sort of thing. Yeah. I think coming out of like, you know, isolation and lockdown, I think people really had to kind of go like, oh no, this is actually a pretty big fucking deal. And having Luminella, what happened to her to start off season 2, it's a really big deal for anyone, let alone a 13-year-old. And the fact that she can't really talk to anyone about what she experienced, that's its own level of anxiety outside of the actual thing that occurs. It's a lot. And this show throws a lot at her. And yet you never find yourself not rooting for her. Like, even when she's wrong and she kind of needs to be checked, you understand that she needs to be checked kind of from a place of love, not purely from a place of ignorance, which is a really hard balance to strike. But the show just keeps finding ways to make her amazing. She gets a really cool upgrade in season 2 that I just loved. I was like, okay, the suit's just better. Like, this is just everything. That dinosaur And I say this as a cat dad. I fucking love Devil so much.
This is the new suit.
The new suit's fantastic. Like, and the season one suit's really cool too.
It's
like,
good it's too.
Not,
yeah,
yeah, it's not a bad suit. But when you see the season two suit, you're like, oh yeah, this is what she like. I didn't know I needed this, but yes, I need this. and every MCU cameo actually feels like in the reference, like it's very much in the background. It doesn't feel forced like it does. Like I think it's a rare thing, but even something like in I'd say like Thor Dark World, I always go back to, it's like, oh, what about this, and look about the, you know, reality stone, haha, and it's like, okay, all right, we don't like, let's roll it back. but every cameo and every reference in here, it's either like a very subtle one where you're like, oh okay, like there's an episode in season two where they have these sidekicks of heroes and they're all like animals, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's Thor's goat, that's Falcon, like it's stuff a lot of you nerd like people just wouldn't know off the top, but I was like, oh, that and that. But then you get these more intense cameos. I was like, oh shit, S.H.I.E.L.D. shows up because they would be based in New York, that makes sense. And oh, there's the Avengers thing, wait, is an Avenger about to show up, oh my god, an Avenger showed up, oh that's so great. Like, and the show just kept surprising me. I think that's the word I have to keep saying, is that I just kept being surprised by the output overall.
What about you, Brian?
Yeah, I freaking love this show. I was badgering Hunter like forever to like finish season one, because I had the unfortunate but fortunate like timing of like I was watching it like while it was coming on. And this show is on Disney Plus, but season one was also airing like concurrently on Disney Channel. So like they had like a first batch of episodes that came out on Disney Plus, and then I had to like wait for more. So I was like already fiending. I was like, first three episodes, I need more. Please keep this coming. but yeah, I love this show. I was already a big fan of the animation studio Flying Bark, because they did Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh. And that has like a very flashy and cool kind of like similar style. Great action scenes as well, like Moon Girl does. And I think they're a studio that like really has fun like making these like action sequences and stuff like that. Cause you watch like Rise of the TMT, like especially the movie, like there are some action scenes that just go off. Like I have to rewind. And you can like see it in here in TMNT and as well as Moon Girl, very anime inspired. They wear their like influences on their sleeves, and it's like just a really beautiful sight to like watch, honestly, every single time, every episode. But yeah, I love Moon Girl. Was not very familiar with the character, very surface level beforehand. Like, knew she was like the smartest, knew she had a cool dinosaur, knew she was probably inhuman. I don't know if that's still canon or not.
I think it is, actually. I think they doubled down on that. I could be wrong, okay. but I'm right there with you. I think I read like two or three runs of her.
Same.
And knew just enough to be able to kind of speak to the character, but was also like, you know, like, you know, tell me your biggest rivals. I'd be like, you know, like, like Kingpin, because he's in
there. Right.
but the voice acting across the board. So one of my biggest pet peeves is I hate when things do like the bitchy female friend dynamic just for the sake of it, like just for the sake of drama. But the thing about being friends with someone this smart that I think that the show nails, that Lunella thinks she's always right. And so when her and Casey actually have arguments, they're justified. They have an argument in season two early on about this new lab she gets, which is awesome, by the way. but they have this argument about it. It's a very sensible argument, and you can actually see where both of them are coming from, and they realize like, oh wow, we're teenagers going through this thing, but we need to be able to like talk this shit out and actually be able to see each other's perspective given on the gravity of what we're taking on. And
the scene where they were inside the dinosaur
Yeah,
okay.
And I remember
going, right, they do have like multiple fights the way you have to like kind of talk through it or like see the other person's perspective and stuff like that.
But it never comes across as bitchy. It never comes across as like mean spirited. It's them just having genuine miscommunication issues and needing to talk it out. And it's done in a respectful way from both sides that you go, oh, okay. And like it, and just like little things like Lunella learns more about fashion from Casey as she progresses the show. And Casey flat out comes up with the science lie in season two to cover for that. You go like, oh yeah, you wouldn't have come up with that season one. Like that's an actual like progression thing because you guys are friends. And it's just, and it's just in the show too, it's just kind of relentless in how emotional it is. Because the end of
those feelings.
Because the end of episode one, where she has a fight with Devil, and I was fucking tearing up. I'm like, why are you yelling at this dinosaur? He just wants to love you. And Devil ends up staying, because of course he does. But you know, she talks about how, you know, he said that this is his home now and it's worth fighting for. And I'm like, oh crap, shut up. Yeah. Like, and the show keeps doing that shit over. I think I cried every other episode. I'm like, you assholes just kept finding there's a fucking gentrification episode in
that's probably my favorite of season two.
Like is it season one or is it season two?
What, are you talking about like the silencing, like with the
yeah
that's season one.
Okay. Straight up no hiding it. They're just like, oh well, you know, you black people are great with your, you know, drum buckets and shit, but what if we make what if you were quiet about it what if we make New York like a giant Apple store basically? And and it's terrifying because you look at cities throughout the U.S. kind of a thing. And the way that the community comes against that, you're like, wow, this is heavy. And all these episodes are like 24 minutes, 20
just about. Yeah, the pilot is a little bit longer to introduce.
I think the first episode is the only long one. Yeah, it's like two in one.
Yeah, but it's like every episode is like lean. There's a lot of content in there. There's a shocking amount to reflect on after each episode. Like, I'd always take a couple minutes to kind of go like, damn, that was, you know, there's an episode about dating in here. And I just went, wow, like, what a concept. Like, hey, you're 12. You don't need to rush into having a, you know, having a partner or anything like that. You can just be a kid. Like, and just these things that I think kids aren't told nearly enough. She has a slumber party episode, which is one of my favorite episodes. Because I still remember like going over to someone's house for the first time and they're like, oh, this isn't my bed, this isn't my toy. Like it's weird. You're like, what the fuck? And the actual anxiety that comes along with that, and her thinking that she's too weird for people. Like it deals with so much stuff that I think that kids do deal with, and it does it in a very informed way.
Really great series. So Jekyll did Moon Boy, so that was the first incarnation there, and then they readapted the character and did a Moon Girl that introduced there. So yeah, this series, I think it first debuted
last year.
Yeah, it debuted Black History Month, February 10th, of last year, though. So that was a good way to start things. And like I say, each episode, this would be a great, you know, something for kids. I think it's something different than what you kind of usually see. I saw something on Twitter there of like, what's a good superhero stuff for kids? Because it seemed like it now is mostly gearing towards adults with the, you know, stuff like that, the violence and maybe the action stuff. Like Invincible, you couldn't show kids. The Boys Diabolical.
Harley Quinn. Come
on. Harley Quinn, you couldn't show kids.
You know, yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
maybe this and My Adventures with Superman would be, you know, really good to.
Oh, show for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so. that would work for.
That's
kids.
A good combo.
Would really.
Teen Titans.
Teen Titans Go. Yeah. That's still around. That's
What,
like 8th season or something like that.
Yeah, that's still going strong.
Yeah. So yeah, and it's like there's good lessons here. Like there's one episode about hair in this episode that works really well.
Love that episode.
That was really good. Hair Day, Gone Tomorrow. That was really good. The villains are really kind of fun. The Beyonder, like I say, really great voice performance from Lois.
Oh my god, the Beyonder. So the Beyonder is an asshole. Like, let's just keep that out of the way. So it's like the Beyonder is such a dick. He's basically the Great Gazoo, basically. Or
oh my gosh, that's basically you're right.
Yeah, or for you Trekkies, he's Q. Like that's like he shows up just to be like, oh, humanity's interesting. Let me just fucking prod this 13-year-old, like, and ruin her day. And there are multiple points where she's just like, can you leave me the like, she doesn't say the fuck, but it's like, can you leave me alone? Like, I'm just trying to live. And the Beyonder even talks about the fact that, you know, he gets genuine joy out of just bothering her. And there's an episode with involving wishing in season two, which I
was gonna say, I like how they develop the Beyonder, because like season one, he is the asshole. He is to bother Lunella. He is to like kind of push things forward, to kind of pull strings and all that kind of stuff. But season two, like you get like a very different side of him, and I think that comes from like the season two opener where we basically have Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but multiverse with Lunella and the Beyonder, and it's a very interesting, like, once again, Lawrence Fishburne does fantastic voice acting as the Beyonder. But yeah, I just love kind of seeing this all-powerful being kind of having to be stuck with a 13-year-old girl. But like, it's what comes after that where he's like, wait, I kind of want to be friends. I kind of want to be cool. I don't want to be an asshole anymore. But he's still kind of being an asshole unknowingly, because just finds him annoying.
Well, but it's also a really good message for kids, because there'll always be a new thing that, you know, you could potentially buy or what have you. Like, you know, we live in it, and it's just like, for a kid, that shit is exhausting, because you feel like you need to have that thing to fit in. And the show does a great job of going, like, it's very ironic this is coming out from Disney, like, that Disney other ones are saying, you don't need to buy everything, like, you know, as they put
meanwhile,
that
meanwhile, I'm like, where can I order a devil dinosaur plushie
right now? I mean, you know.
Hell yeah.
it's very ironic that Disney's putting this shit out, but it's true, though. Like, at some point, you kind of just, you know, you can't keep up on every trend. And it's actually very good for kids to get that message, because you know
that was the episode with Chris Brown in it.
Chris Brown?
No, I was saying that was just basically as
I was like, so they'll fire Jonathan Majors, but they'll hire Chris Brown.
Yeah, because it was like the artist had the new shoes and she was kind of following it. I think
basically playing Pretty Boy Flizzy from
there. You go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bobby B, I think, was his name. I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right. But that boss fight was awesome too, because like a very good lesson, everyone. If you do get wishes, make sure you're very precise on your language, because.
A lot of monkey paws.
Yeah, because Lunella's blackness almost got her killed, because she was like, I want him to have the baddest piano ever. And he's like, well, you said you wanted the baddest piano. She's like, no, I meant like dope, damn it. like, you asshole. It's like, if you'd said you just want him to have a great piano, then you could have gotten saved. But it's one of those shows that between that, they have, oh my gosh, I'm completely, Casey. Casey's got two dads, and their wedding is really cute when they go ahead and show that. But Casey talks about, you know, like her heritage, talks about having, you know, having her two dads. The show has multiple black women as scientists and like badass fucking scientists. It deals with
her grandma.
Yeah, her grandma, like, that was, so I will be real, that
I
was,
guess that's a spoiler, sorry.
I mean, kind of, like, are we in spoiler territory yet, or are we still just talking general, because I don't want to go
through. What do you want to spoil? We can spoil, like, what happened in season one there, or?
So, like, the last two episodes, I will say, if there wasn't a season two, I would have been fucking furious.
Because
where this season one ends up, especially if you're a kid, you'd be like, where's season two? Oh,
that was me last year. Dude, I was like,
oh, the mouse.
I'll just sit here and wait, I guess.
Yeah, because that season one ending is kind of a kick in the jewels. It's like, oh, wow, you're going to end the season like this? And, but it's really good because it really does show, like, okay, kids, like, there are consequences to shit. And it's a really big consequence. And I give Fishburne and company a lot of credit for taking a very big risk as far as that's concerned. Just real quick to shout them out, the people who are like the creators are Jeffrey M. Howard, Kate Condell, and then Steve Loader. Howard worked on Phineas and Herb, the Phineas and Herb movie. Kate Condell did as well. And then Steve Loader actually worked on Kim Possible, which is a great animated show for those who haven't seen it. Worked on The Penguins of Madagascar too. That TV series, that's great. I like them. And goddamn, he did Buzz Lightyear Star Command too. Goddamn, okay, dude. Yeah, like,
these
okay,
dudes are busy. They've been in the Disney like train for a minute.
I will say too, if you're not a fan of Lightyear, Buzz Lightyear Star Command is some great shit. For those of y'all who have not seen it, but yeah, everything in the show just works. We haven't talked about it yet, but Rafael Sadiq, shout out to him with the music. Holy shit, the music! I have both. I have the full series soundtrack on my phone. Like, I've been listening to that a lot. That soundtrack kicks ass. That soundtrack's wonderful. Season 3 is written. I did see, I think it was Steve Loader talking about that too. So, look,
everybody start watching Moon Girl, right?
Yeah, now. Like, y'all need to watch this, because if we don't get a season 3, the finale too of season 2, wonderful. Not to spoil anything, but wonderful. And a more mature season 2. It's definitely a darker season. Like, there's a lot of stuff that happens that you kind of go like, wow, okay. Like, I mean,
the way the season 2 opens, dude, is
pretty
dark.
Intense. But it keeps so many threads going. Like, there's this thread about Devil not feeling a part of the family, part of the team, because he's so big and so he can't experience everything. So there's a point where he ends up going ahead and having his own bad day with those other mascot other sidekicks that I mentioned. And that episode, there's barely any dialogue in that episode, and they still are able to just make you go like, oh, this is how Devil's feeling. And it's great. And just the show just, I know I keep saying it, the show just kept surprising me. There's an episode involving an Ocean's 11 type heist, which I was like, oh, I'm getting a heist episode near. I wasn't expecting that. That's great. And you find out Devil's a big art connoisseur, which I went, that's wonderful.
There's even like little hints throughout the season. Like, I don't know if it's season 1, but it shows him like painting.
Yeah.
In like the shoe episode, like he paints the shoes for her.
Yeah, I started thinking about it. I was like, wait a minute, they've been building to this. Like the show just does so much stuff in the background that when they bring it up to the forefront, you're like, oh yeah, you have been building to that. And it kind of keeps doing that over and over and over again. There's a use of Childish Gambino's sweatpants. Mm-hmm. Like, I straight up, like, that's the affiliation I have now. Is with Moon Girl now with that song. But I don't think there's a what's the one episode? There's one episode, I think it's season 1 with the Rat King, where she has her pet hamster or the class pet. And that fight scene that's probably a top 3 one for me. Like, I love that fight scene. But the show's just great. Like, at the end of the day, it just doesn't do anything wrong, and it's kind of great at everything it tries to do. The voice acting is great across the board. Nice. I want to shout out Diamond White, who voices Lunella, and then
and sings a lot on this show.
Yeah. The theme song's a banger too. I was like, oh my god,
never skipping that theme song.
So it's that Peacemaker,
Oh yeah,
The Office, and then like Justice League Unlimited. I think are the only intros I just never skip. Like I'm just like nope. Oh, and The Simpsons. There you go. But this is just the theme song is excellent. The animation, there's so many different types. The use of colors is incredible in this show. And where season two ends up, I went, okay, give me season three. So please watch this show for the love of God. It's I love that episode too, where she gets a new suit. It also does something that that just kind of makes me roll my eyes at Batman, who I have a complicated relationship with. There's an episode involving this villain, and she actually talks about the fact that, yeah, you know, we kind of take these villains and don't let them actually try to be you know, better members of society. And the way that she actually tells fucking Maria Hill that shit and goes like, look, this happened, like, we need to, it's like, wow, this kid's 13 and she gets this shit. And that's the biggest compliment I give the show. I kept going like, man, this show just understands how to touch on these social issues. There's a whole issue about the roller rink, and as far as like a long held feud and how we kind of hold out within our communities. And I went, wow, it's addressing this like with two episodes left. It's just the show just kept finding ways to surprise me. And I don't know if there's a show that I would tell anyone to watch more in this moment than the show.
So great voice cast here that you have. Mentioned, so she usually pals around with Sydney, who's voiced by Leah Bayar is her name, and Lib Bayar, who they use a lot of kind of the background of the actual people, then they kind of bring it to the show. So she is, her parents are both Mexican-born Jews there. And she is Jewish in the show.
Brandon, she voiced the Violet on DuckTales Revival.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my, thank you for telling me that.
So she's the PR person for Moon Girl there. So she does a lot of the run the social media stuff for her there, which always runs into some good comedy bits. They work really well together. They're back and forth. Again, good lessons in every episode there. There's an episode about bullies, trolls. That's a really good one there.
Oh, that's a great episode.
That one has maybe one of my favorite songs of the entire series there. I thought that one was really good. Like I said, coming up with, you know, all these different songs for each episode and different musicals, because that's kind of how these all episodes end, kind of boss battle and then kind of done in a very musical style, which is really, really fun and really good how they do that, which is really nice. Man, this show is very impressive with all they do there, with all the kind of stuff. I wonder how long it takes, because if you're doing this every year, you're going to put out a new season of this show. I wonder how much are they working this, what they're doing. And, I mean, because you can just see it on the screen. And, I mean, some really great episodes. And here, this is the trailer for season two. You mentioned the episode where she kind of gets her new suit, and then she learns about the history of her grandmother. And how that kind of ties in, and then she meets other women of science, and that I think that's a really great episode there.
That's
really
a great episode.
And I forgot this villain, because that's the villain she uses to reform.
I
the villain's name. But they do a thing where, yeah, she kind of reforms the villain there and does that. And that's the episode with Wakanda, the teacher comes in, which also was a really great episode there.
That episode about mentorship, like, holy shit, I was not expecting that episode. And yeah, that might be my favorite episode of the season, because when she just breaks down, it's like, holy shit, this poor kid can't, you know, just can't catch a break. And and the fact she sets that boundary with an adult and goes like, look, you know, it's a powerful moment. And then the adult having to realize in real time that, oh shit, I've been passing on my bullshit onto you. Like, like it's a lot, and the show constantly finds the Kid Cree episode deals with you know, with a parent pushing their kid too far. You just go like, wow, like it's a joy. That's what I kept telling my friend. I'm like, it's just a joy to watch this show, and to realize that out of all the episodes I've watched, there wasn't one I didn't enjoy. Like there are ones I like more than others, but I was engaged and entertained all the way through, which is something I can rarely say, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that episode with the Wakandan teacher, that was Make It or Break It. That was the 8th episode.
Yeah,
there you go.
Of the season. And then the episode with the criminal there, Ride or Die, was that?
Yeah.
Quick Whip was her name.
That's good, of course.
Yeah. And there's some funny bits that they do with that. It's like, I'm not Quick Whip, I'm Whip Quick. Totally different. Yeah.
There's a Westminster Dog Show episode that is so good.
Oh, yes.
Where they're basically doing a dog pun a minute. Like, they actually have a counter the whole episode of dog pun. I was like, wow, they are keeping this going. And that has a very good twist. There are some episodes where, like, you think Lunella is going to be right about this thing, and then they kind of throw a curve, and you're like, oh, okay, she wasn't right about that. And then they explain why she wasn't, what the bigger threat is. This was one of those episodes where I definitely was like, wait, this thing is going to be like the foil, right? And then it's like, no, actually it's this. It's like, oh, okay. And and the show just does a very good job of like messing with your expectations in that way.
Yeah. And hello, Katnay Winnie. Thanks for showing up. Thank you very much. Much appreciated there. Yeah, Katnay Winnie, I think you would really like Moon Girl and the Devil Dinosaur if you haven't seen it already. It's on Disney Plus right now. Yeah, I think the show works on every level that it needs to try its hand at, the lessons of it. It's not done in a corny way, I don't think. I don't think it's done in a bad way. Like I said, very much like very early Proud Family type of stuff that really works really well at delivering the message pretty well there. And of course, I compared to Spider-Verse with the great animation there of how it has a sketchbook type style, which is really great. I think you can really feel the influence of the writer's room and the creators on this show that are, you know, really have a great positive influence on it. Love the voice acting around the board. We forget to mention her mom, Shahir Zameda, who was also
SNL. Yes.
She's
great. She's great.
Yeah, before she got replaced by the other black woman that is now. Maybe one black woman at the time.
Only at a time. One at a time.
Yeah, not a thing could be New Girl, you know, can't have two black films.
No. Keenan doesn't count. He stays forever.
Yeah, right.
On there, rated M for Immaturity, man. Thank you for showing up there. Much appreciated. Final round here. Brandon, final thoughts, rating on Moon Girl and the Devil Dinosaur.
I am in love with the show. This is the kind of show that I wish I had growing up, because I would probably be a bigger nerd than I already am. But yeah, man, this show just does everything right. Like, I agree with everything that you two have been saying, especially Josh, when you said like a mix of Proud Family and Spider-Verse. That even like goes so far to throw in like some Static Shock in here, like with like like those episodes of Static Shock where they really dealt with like stuff when he wasn't even static, like shit gets real with the community or just like social events or social like shit going on in his community. And I think like Moon Girl from the jump, like first episode, first minute, like it sets the tone of what it's going to be, like with that opening song, her like roller skating through her neighborhood. I absolutely love this show. I'm so glad it exists. All of the people working on it are amazing, and I just hope we keep getting more of this and more stuff like this. Like, I know Marvel Animation is just like really starting to start up, like, you know, we have What If, X-Men 97 we talked about earlier coming next month, but like I hope we get more animation that's not looking the same, you know what I mean? Like, just fully taking advantage of the medium, and that's exactly what this show does. My only complaint is Raphael Sadiq, I need those interludes. I need the music that is not like the actual songs to listen to.
Yeah.
The
breaks are nice.
It's very, if you've seen Samurai Champloo, like when it has like those commercial breaks, like you get like instrumental. Excuse me. You get like those little instrumental breaks, like looking at like the title of like, or like, with Moon Girl, looks kind of like a tape deck or like just like something like that.
Raphael Sadiq right here.
Yes. Yeah. Legend in the music industry. Fantastic music making man. So cool that he's on this show. But yeah, that's my only complaint. And it's so small and nitpicky and has nothing to do with the actual show. But yes, if you're not watching the show, please do. Animation's in a tough spot. Like stuff like this and Clone High recently got all their episodes put on like at once. Last year, it was like weekly. They were doing weekly. So like these studios are like companies are really just trying to gauge audience like interest by binging, by like how you like watch how many episodes when it's all there. So like I feel like that's stupid, but
it is. Oh, it is.
That's way besides the point. Fuck you, David Zaslav. This show is cinema. The show is everything I would want in like a young black superhero show. And like we mentioned, it is unapologetically black. Unapologetically New York as well. Like you get every kind of culture and person in this show. So yeah, if you're not watching this show, please do. Yeah.
She's in New Jersey. I don't know. Maybe they'll do. I don't know. Maybe Kamala Khan will come through.
Right. Where's Miles at? Is Brooklyn away?
Yeah, it's not far away. Like, come on, do it.
Like, I feel like those two characters would fit in this show for sure.
They definitely would.
Yeah. Hunter, what about you?
Yeah, Brandon's 100% on the money. Like, if I had a show like this as a kid, I would be somehow nerdier than I am now. This is a great companion piece with Craig of the Creek. Like, if you have
Craig of the Creek,
please watch Craig of the Creek. That's an amazing show, and you would be very happy watching that. This show just gets it. Just from the music to the animation to the relationships to the black landmarks to the shout outs to black artists and black scientists that they have in here. There's multiple Easter eggs talking about like black science history that you're like, oh shit, okay. And stuff I went, oh wow, they referenced this person. It's like that's cool, okay. There's a lot of that, like it's the show will stop sometimes and go like shout out to this person, you know, something that you can always go back and revisit, but the show is like definitely teaching you too. Please, like this needs to get a season 3. like Bob Iger, god damn it, dude, like you just yeah, like I know you spent a bunch of money on fucking that Wish movie that made no money. Like you can give this a fucking season 3, asshole. While you underpay your employees. But this was just, I was so happy to watch this. And I didn't watch season 1 last year intentionally because I was like, I will probably love the show and then be sad that I can't watch more. And so I've watched these two seasons in like the last month, and I'm pretty bummed that I don't have to watch for a couple weeks. So it's like, all right, cool. But at the end of the day, if you're a girl especially, I'd highly recommend watching this because I think you'll feel seen, you'll be happy. Like, it's so hard to, like, it's fucking impossible to not cheer for her and want to see Vanilla do better. And there's a lot of female like science love that's shown here, like across the spectrum. That is so it's really cool. It's really well done. This is peak for me in every way, shape, or form. Shout out to Lawrence Fishburne for using his name to go ahead and help get this on people's screens. But I adore this. This is right up there with my favorite. I like this as much as I like both seasons of Loki, just to put it in perspective. I love these first two. Like I was talking to my friend, and he was like, all right, dude, like favorite seasons of TV, like off the top, like Breaking Bad season 2, Pushing Daisies season 1, Firefly, Justified season 2, Moon Girl and Double Dinosaur season 2. It's up there with my favorite seasons of television ever, and this needs a third season. So yes, yeah, come on, Disney, third season of this. But yeah, this is
yeah, great song, great music. Really great this year. Really just cute show overall. That's really fun to watch. Great lessons that are in here that work really well. If I had kids, if I had a daughter especially, I would want them to definitely sit down and watch this. I don't think it matters if you have to be into superhero stuff to watch this. I think generally you just can kind of get into it. I think this is something that, I mean, it's something tolerable for adults to sit down and watch also with their kids.
Shockingly so,
You know, something like if you were to sit down and watch Avatar The Last Airbender or something like that, if, you know, it's a good show for also you can sit down with your kid and enjoy it too there.
Yeah.
It's fun. It moves at a great pace. You know, always, you know, fun stuff at the end of, like I said, big musical boss battles at the end. Yeah. Really great there. Catchy songs that are getting stuck in your head that you can play maybe in the car.
Yeah.
Later on that you can kind of go do that. So yeah, that's really great work too. I mean, I'm glad I watched this. I think it's really great. In terms of like Disney animation, I know some people are kind of lukewarm on things like What If or, you know, things like what else is kind of up there now with kind of a lot of the superhero animated stuff that Disney Marvel does. I think it is way better than something like that in terms of the creativity, the amount of art that is put into this. Radiant for Maturity said, I hope this is successful and promotes more 2D animation for Marvel. And a lot of the 3D stuff is kind of eh.
I totally agree.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm a big, like, hand-drawn 2D style animation like advocate, because like I know it takes longer, but I think one of the last best things that Disney's animated was that last Winnie the Pooh movie they did.
It was like that and Princess and the Frog. That was like the last
Like those were fucking gorgeous. It's like not everything needs to be 3D. Like, change it up, take some chances, you know.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, I don't really have any real issues with it. I think the show works on really a lot of levels there. So yeah, I would kind of give it a This Is Cinema. I think I love it that much. I think it is really just that great. Something I think a lot of people should watch and should check out there. And Rain from Trudy, we did both seasons. Yes, we did both seasons, season one, season two, which is on Disney Plus right now. I would say, and then it's on its 8th episode, so they usually drop 2 episodes every week. They drop 2.
Well, they're done with season 2 now, right? Like,
no,
yeah.
It still has a lot more episodes. It has 24 episodes in total, and they're only on episode 8.
Oh, wait, does it? Really?
No, yeah. Still a lot more to go.
I remember reading something that's one of the creators said, like, they're going to be like another batch of episodes.
Oh, thank God. Oh,
yeah. So, yeah, this is like season 2A right now.
Oh, my God. That makes me feel so much better. Oh, thank God. Okay.
Next 2 episodes are dropping March 2nd. So that's when they drop. So I think they
dropped 2. Okay, well, Brandon, you tricked me. Now I'm going to be watching this weekly, you fucker.
You're welcome.
Okay. I didn't know that. I thought where they ended on the last episode of season 2 was it.
No, no, no.
Woo, okay.
Ray from Trudy says, I hope it gets a physical release, and it's
oh my god,
I hope it does get a physical release too. I would love
to, can just imagine like an art book for this show, and I need that like immediately.
I looked on Amazon, they do not have one yet, but I'm starting to collect more art books. I actually have my Spider-Verse and my Mitchell's vs. Machines one down here, and
nice.
So quick thing, just y'all. Get physical media if you can. If they put out a physical release of this, I will be buying it.
ASAP. I'm buying this for other people if this comes out on physical media.
Yeah. If you got nieces, nephews.
Yeah.
If I was
nieces, nephews, grandparents, everybody gets one.
I've already told my friends with kids that they need to be watching this, and everyone who's actually taken to this so far has already been like, dude, great recommendations. Like, watch this and watch Bluey. Those are great.
What do you think? So age wise, what do you think? Kind of 11 and below or 10 and below?
What is it? 7, 8?
Yeah, that's the age. It's for 7 and up. Is I think.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
7 is good, because there, that is one thing I will say, there are some great horror elements in here. If your kid is kind of intrigued by the horror stuff, that might be your gateway into being like, okay, when you're 11, I'll show you, I don't know what you'd show.
The thing,
like, Yeah, I mean, if you show an 11-year-old a thing and they're fine, I think you're kind of off the
That's phrase. A cool kid right there.
Right? Dude, I saw Songs of the Lambs when I was 5, and I remember I was kind of like, there's a shocking amount of horror. Like, that first episode's kind of a horror episode in season 2. It's like, oh.
I was going to say, like, am I going to witness a 13-year-old dying in front of my face?
Right? Like, it's kind of crazy, but Man, okay. That you're making me feel better about knowing that there's more still. I was scared about that.
Raven Mature is the same age range as a medium-sized Lego set.
That's a good comparison.
That actually is a really good comparison. Wow, well done.
Yeah. Get your kid also a good way to make fun, make science fun. You know what I mean? Math fun.
Exactly. Get into music as well. Like, if you know, very easy. Like, listen to that soundtrack with your kids.
The soundtrack alone warrants this show's existence before you even get to like any of the actual content. But the music is just like, there's hip hop in here, there's jazz, there's funk, there's
country a little bit too.
Yeah, everything. There is some country. Like, it's a great like melting pot of so many different styles. But
I was gonna say, I just have that the 70s and like original like version like. Of the Moon Girl theme, like on repeat lately.
Oh, nice! There you go.
So good.
There's a skating episode in season 2 about Pops and one of his former friends, and that boss battle was so fucking cool. I'm like, this is amazing. that song that they play was just perfection. Oh my god, I'm so excited we're getting more in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, so this is Cinemas All Around for Moon Girl and the Devil Dinosaur. Very awesome there. Ray from Tree said, I feel like this would make a great Lego set. Yeah, I think so. I think
it'd be really cool. Yeah, it would. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd pay a friend to build this for me. I'm terrible. Yeah,
I'd buy that in a second.
Yeah.
The action figure too. She's got the little punch glove. And...
Right. Give me a punch glove, like a Hulk hand. Remember those? Like, give me one of those.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, what Disney hates merchandise? What are you talking about?
Whatever. You know, maybe we need to go back to like the time when Star Wars prequels. You know how like merchandise it was for those. Yeah. I need to see that for Moon Girl. I want merchandise everywhere.
I'll be real, like it's such a weird thing to say that Disney makes too little merchandise. I say as I'm wearing a Black Panther hat,
Black Panther shirt right here.
Yeah, it's like I'm looking around my room. I'm like, oh god, there's some Marvel merch in here, but it's like, you have more, these characters, yeah, right. But you have these characters who don't like me. Growing up, there was no Black Panther merch. You can find Black Panther merchandise anywhere. Now you can, but you know, in the 90s,
you weren't getting Luke Cage. You weren't. Getting,
oh yeah, fuck no. You weren't like getting that. Yeah, you weren't getting Moon Knight merch.
Yeah. You'd be lucky if you get Storm. Like Storm,
seriously, like
the only one.
Yeah, Captain Marvel merch, like please, but
no,
but
now
but now you can get that stuff. But yeah, a Moon Girl, like I have a Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur like shirt in my cart, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm getting this. I don't know when I'm getting it, but I'm getting it. Some I'll probably get it before the next episodes come out. But yeah, like support the show. It's well worth your time. You can watch it with your kids, and you'll enjoy it. You will enjoy yourself watching this. Mm. Mm. Thank you.